Sunset Lake CBD is a majority employee-owned hemp farm located right outside of Burlington, Vermont. Before they started growing hemp, Sunset Lake Farms produced cream for Ben & Jerry's. Sunset Lake CBD doesn't use any pesticides or herbicides to grow any of its hemp plants, and they use organic fertilizer and other sustainable farming techniques to ensure the long-term health of the soil and to minimize their carbon footprint. So like all of us, my days are really stressful. By the end of the night, my kids are in bed, I'm taking a minute to chill, but I'm still unwinding. I recently started using the Relax Gummies infused with CBD isolate, reishi mushroom extract, and ashwagandha root extract. I'm really glad I tried these because they really helped me get ready for a good night of sleep, and I really think I sleep better, so I'd highly recommend it. Check out Sunset Lake CBD today at sunsetlakecbd.com and use the code UNDERMINE for 20% off your order. That's sunsetlakecbd.com and use the code UNDERMINE for 20% off your order. Farmer-owned, Vermont-grown, Sunset Lake CBD. Hey listeners, I want to tell you about Music Masters Collective, a nonprofit organization that produces unique music events, providing opportunities for fans and artists to meet and collaborate in an inspired and creative atmosphere. These events give you the opportunity to learn from world-class musicians like the Fab Four, Steve Earle, Richard Thompson, John Scofield, Nels Klein, the Milk Carton Kids, and many more. This June, join the Wait Band, featuring members of the band and the Levon Helm Band with special guests, including Jimmy Vivino, Bob Margolin, Lost Leaders, Chris O'Leary, Cindy Cashdollar, Stony Creek Band, Rob Fraboni, Larry Packer, and so many more at Camp Cripple Creek. This all-inclusive music vacation in the Catskill Mountains of upstate New York promises to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience featuring performances, workshops, jams, comfortable lodging, and superb dining. Visit campcripplecreek.com/undermine to register today. That's campcripplecreek.com/undermine.
Osiris.
And here we are, friends. We've reached the end, possibly the actual end of season four of Undermine. You talk about dragging out a season, but at least we haven't jumped the shark, have we?
Well, I think you just did, or at least you jumped something. Let's back up. Isn't there something, Tom, that you want to tell everyone?
Left lane is for passing.
All right. Way to stick the ending or the ending's opening. Hey, listen, everyone, you're listening to Undermine on the Network, the podcast where we analyze or perhaps apotheolize fish. He's your host, Tom Marshall.
And today I'll be joined by my co-hosts, RJB and Benji Eisen, as we close out our fourth season with the fourth night of Fish's canonized island tour. I'm going to ask RJ if I got that right.
One fourth. Yes. Benji, what right. Where do we go from here?
Well, I don't know, but I'm inside the building right now. And by that, I think I mean I'm inside the Providence Civic Center. It's April 5th, 1998. I'm down front riding the rail. And in fact, maybe to coincide with this episode when it goes live, I'll post the picture that the photographer Mike Mack took from behind the stage where you can see me raging with some fellow wrecked music fishers. Tom, I think at this moment, you know, I'm down on the rail waiting anxiously for the show to begin. You're shaking it with sugary backstage. RJ, where are you?
Well, as a freshman in college, I made the right decision, which is that after the night before, after 4-4, because
don't say you were not at this show.
I won't. Don't worry. I was not at this show because we left at like midnight and drove all the way back to Ohio. And I think it's because we didn't want to miss class or someone had an exam or something else that at this point, 25 years later, is like,
but
so
wasn't
stupid.
It important for a podcast 25 years later?
Yeah, well,
you said that you were doing research.
I mean, at this point, I was just starting audiobooks. So I had no idea the podcasts were coming. How would I know, you know, 25 years ago, I was just getting audiobooks going. But I will say I have like two fish regrets. One is not going to Big Cypress, which was like, still like, why wouldn't I do that? I was in college. There's no reason. And the second is leaving before this four or five show. So this will be really fun for me to relive through you guys and be depressed all over again. So Benji, why don't you tell us about the opening of this show?
Well, there's really nothing to say about it. Not much other than on night four, it's the conclusion of the tour. All four, we mentioned this yesterday, but it bears repeating. All four show openers appear to kind of be a deliberate mission statement for the night and for the tour. I mean, opening the run with Tube, to me, that signifies this is a continuation of 97. Then you have Mites, Tweezer, and now Okipa into Yem, you know, which I believe, you know, all four nights, it's meant to just start off by at 10, you know, rather than a warm-up. And Okipa almost always goes into AC/DC Bag or Susie Greenberg. You can kind of hear it, right? Like when they're playing it, you wait for that beat for Susie Greenberg or AC/DC Bag is the alternate. So to dive right into the band's signature big tune here with those opening notes of You Enjoy Myself, it made the crowd go wild.
It's interesting that that they didn't save this for, you know, later on, like a, you know, set to closer. It's interesting that this is, because in these days there wasn't a lot of, I guess they were just starting to play around with where songs were placed, but
you mean Yem?
Yeah. Like it should have been, you know, it typically would have been at the end of a second set, not, you know, basically an opener, but you know, 25 minute jam here with, you know, with all the, with everything that the song comes with is a really, like you said, it's a big, big statement, Benji. I don't know. Really cool. And I think it was a little bit, maybe the Europe tours kind of got them a little bit more comfortable with mixing things around, but you know, you typically wouldn't expect something like this.
Maybe they were foreshadowing cool. 25 years later when all the rules are out the window.
That's possible. And there's a theme right after the You Enjoy Myself, really. Anyway, first of all, let me just go back and just say the You Enjoy Myself is great. There's a great jam, and you know, it's almost like the 25 minutes is pretty fully jam packed, as it were. But Tom, there's a theme from the bottom, and then there's a McGrupp, and we talked about McGrupp. I think it was maybe one of the 97 versions that we talked about in the last segment of this season or last phase of this season. But I know you pay close attention to these McGrupps. How did you feel about this one? Because I think this one has some interesting elements.
This is like McGrupp, kind of like the band is saying, this is how McGrupp should be played. Whereas like there's one actually from France. I don't think we even did but it's in 97. I don't think we even did this show. And it might be the weirdest McGrupp. But then there's one that we did talk about very recently, and that was the one in the New Year's run. And so that's kind of the two that I have most freshly in my mind right now. But those three of 97 are like all listenable. But this one is like a really page dominated beginning of the jam. And it's really just radiating excellence and fun. And you can hear Trey just like a stallion, a racehorse, like struggling to come out of the gates, just waiting to play. And it's like, it's incredible. I love this one. It's a great one.
the New Year's run was the one where you revealed to us and pointed out to us that there is that lick that they rip from Here Comes the Sun.
Yeah, it's almost like directly lifted.
Super cool though.
Really cool.
Oh, okay. So this the rest of this set that I missed was Bathtub Gin, Into Cities, Into Sparkle, Into Split Open and Melt. Bathtub Gin, one of the three invincibles, as Benji has coined it. really a pretty cool version here halfway through this first set.
Yeah, it's yesterday I said that there are three immortals and Gin was one of them. I said immortal yesterday because every time that they play it, it was Bathtub Gin, Wolfman's Brother, and what was the third one? It was the one we talked about yesterday. whenever they play Bathtub Gin, it always seems like it's a song that's in stride. It's not always great, but it usually actually is. You know, it's never really bad, right? That's why it's immortal. It just doesn't inspire as a first set small jam vehicle. It's always there, you know. So Cities was a nice rarity then and now. And then we have the Split Open and Melt to close. And that's a song that it doesn't always hit. Like it seems like sometimes they don't, they reach for it and it just doesn't quite, you know, and it's never bad. It's just that it's a difficult song for them to get to where I think the song hits the most. And when it does, it melts faces, you know? So here it's a half melt maybe. At the time it felt like a full melt. In fact, listening to it just last night, it kind of felt like a full melt. But then, you know, when you take it in context with all of the Split Open and Melts, I'd say it's a half melt.
That sounds exactly right, even though it makes no sense. Like, would it be half of your face on the side or like the top half? It doesn't matter at all because it's set break. So go pee, buy a beer and a hot dog and come back and find us at the seats. But make haste because we will be right back.
Hey listeners, I want to tell you about one of our great partners, DistroKid. DistroKid makes music distribution fun and easy with unlimited uploads and artists keeping 100% of their royalties and earnings. If you're a musician and looking to get your music out there, DistroKid is the way to go. DistroKid is available for iOS and Android and is now available in Apple's App Store and the Google Play Store. More than a million artists rely on DistroKid to get their music onto Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram, and all other major streaming services. And with DistroKid, you can upload new releases, see your financial progress, get notified when you've earned royalties, withdraw money from the app, view and share links, check your streaming stats, and a whole lot more. DistroKid has more features than any other music distributor. Check them out today. Go to distrokid.com, that's distrokid with a capital K, .com/VIP/undermine for a special offer only for our listeners. That's DistroKid, capital K, .com/VIP/undermine. Thanks, DistroKid.
Hey, what's up? My name's Lurk, and I'm the host of Lambgoat's Van Flip Podcast. Every week, I have in-depth conversations with bands from all over the scene, big and small. We also like to keep our finger on the pulse and showcase up-and-coming bands on the show as well. So come check out Lambgoat's Van Flip Podcast.
Welcome back to Undermine, the podcast that doesn't mind. You can listen to us in pajamas or driving home from work alike. But since this is the final episode of the season, please say good things about us while we break for summer. Let's get back into it with the final set from the Island Tour. But first, the third immortal song that Benji was trying to remember is Stash.
It holds up.
So Stash, Gin, and?
Wolfman's Brother.
And the brother. Okay. I hope you didn't blow your bathroom break because these next few minutes are going to be a bit of a dance marathon, right? Set two on the last show.
I mentioned that this was one of my regrets, and so I don't even want to talk about it. Benji, what happened?
Well, okay, RJ, let's take the bird's eye view, the eagle eye view of this set for just a moment. Tom said that we were in for a dance marathon, and I think that's exactly right. You know, this set, more than any other since, I want to say since that iconic and famed 11-17-97 Denver show, you know, this set, along with that, perhaps really encapsulates what we mean when we use the term Calfunk. You know, this might actually, arguably, be the last night of the Calfunk era. Do you get why I'm saying that?
Well, okay. So at the end of the show, there Trey starts saying, Tom talked about this the other day, that Trey goes into this thing where he just starts saying, like, thanking the audience and saying that everyone should leave if they want to, but if they want to stay, they should, because you can't leave without a little more funk. And this whole back half of the set is basically just like a funk jam. Did you guys leave?
Stayed.
Yeah, I stayed. Not only did I stick around, I danced on the rail. You know, and Possum Cavern, these songs normally would feel to me like, you know, okay, this is Fish's way of saying like the night's coming to a close or whatever it is. You know, maybe not Possum, a Cavern for sure as a traditional set closer. But there was something about the way that they made this. They just funked out the ending, and it was less about the song or those few songs. It was less about those songs, and it was more just about extending this dance groove. And there's something about that that seemed novel to me, you know, then and now, because it was kind of like, you know, oh, cool. Like 3 years earlier, you never would have had that in 94. It would have been a totally different Possum and Cavern. So there was this, you know, element of, hey, cool, everybody likes to dance. And my favorite, you know, alt-rock jam band that's melting, that melts faces, half melts or full melts, you know, suddenly has been hijacked by a traveling like dance-a-thon DJ or something. And yet I myself, I couldn't stop dancing because, you know, after really all, it's just fun.
Stop after 4 days, but for those of you who came to a lot of the shows or for those of you who just came tonight, thank you very much. We really appreciate everything. And I started this little funk group because we can't end this whole thing without a little bit more funk, since that's kind of been the theme. So just, for those of you who want to take off, but for those of you who just want to dance to the funk, you know, we're going to stay around and keep grooving. So thanks a lot. It's really been fun, and we'll see you guys this summer.
It's interesting because it does seem like they kind of turn on that funk switch at the end, because the beginning of the set, the Down With Disease, Yamar, Caspian are all very much like in this slightly more ambient, you know, there's some dark moments, like this 98 sound, which is really just like alternating through a lot of styles. And then it just seems like they flip a switch. But I don't know. Do you remember it as being a switch flipped, or did it, like, how do you remember it?
Well, that's exactly how I remember it from listening to it again last night. At the time, I remember, you know, I think one thing that we haven't really hit too much upon is that not only are these four shows a callback to 97, they're also kind of a preview of 98, a bridge, perhaps, you know. But here, you know, I like the deconstruction of Yamar, where it goes into this kind of, you know, tray noodle. It felt very in the moment, and perhaps it spoke to the exhaustion of a fourth straight night for all of us, except for you, RJ, who bailed after three nights.
And bailed everyone just else, now, too.
Yeah, that's right.
I was still there in spirit, and I'm still here. Well,
everyone else but RJ stuck around for the Cavern. And then in between, you know, we can't overlook this, there was Shafty. And I don't know if we can call this a debut. I mean, it is. It's the first time that they ever play Shafty, right? So it's a debut. But Shafty is a rework of Olivia's Pull. Tom, I guess there's a few things here. Did you know that they reworked the song? Like, did you get a heads up? Did you have any insight into it? And before you answer, some other considerations. considerations.
All right.
Do you know if this new arrangement was called Shafty at all in relation to the theme song to Shaft, either directly or indirectly? And finally, as we're talking about words, with the wordsmith here. You know, there's obviously the play in words, oblivious fool or Olivia's pool, but which one came first?
Okay. Again, I refer Phish fans back to the Trampled by Lambs and Pecked by the Dove, an album of 25 songs that Trey and I recorded in 96 and 97. And most of those landed, like I said, on Farmhouse and Story of the Ghost. Olivia's Pool, the original demo version by me and Trey, was upbeat and happy, and of course was jokingly named that because of the Oblivious Fool lyrics. So Oblivious Fool came first, but it was never called that. It was always just the sillier Olivia's Pool. But I gotta say, I was kind of surprised and maybe even a little bit dismayed by the version they called Shafty and how it made it on the album. I didn't understand the rework, and I have no idea how it was named. But I've come maybe to accept it over time, I guess. But this song, the upbeat version, was a staple in my band Amphibian, and we played it a lot from 1999 to 2007, probably more than Phish did. But Cavern, you guys kind of gloss over Cavern. The song to close out the set is a great, great funky version. And after that super funk jam that comes out of Possum, that even has its own song title, Jam. but here the alternate nasty lyrics are in play again. We talked about them in an earlier season 4 episode, and it's the brothel wife grabbing the knife and slashing me on the tongue, and I turned the blade back on the bitch and dropped her in the dung. I did write that, so I do take full responsibility, but I don't think the band was super comfortable singing those lyrics and drop them or soften them a bit, but they're here in their full regalia.
I do want to say, Tom, I'm with you on the, I'm a big fan of the original version of Olivia's Pool.
Okay, good. Agreed.
It's the juxtaposition that makes it work, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to say, I mean, really happy in fall 2021 when Olivia's Pool came back in a really like jammed out fashion. That was yeah. great. And some of these songs are just, you know, some of these songs are coming back, which is great. So we're pretty close to the end of this run, but I have to ask, so guys, when you were coming out of this, well, first of all, there is a kind of section, like you mentioned, Tom. So there's Cavern, which is 13 minutes of basically like funk, and then Possum, you know, mercifully goes from Possum into a funk jam before going into Cavern. And so there's like a long period of funk here. And then there's, you know, Bold as Love. And I think it's a great way to end because, you know, there's just not much you can do after these 4 days. And I just think there was like it was a nice statement. I love that cover. And I don't think I haven't seen Bold as Love very much. It's a great cover that has sort of, you know, it's very rare these days, but a nice exclamation point on an excellent 4 shows. But I don't know, I guess before we end, like, what do you guys take away from this show and from the run in general, now that we've gone back and revisited the entire Island tour?
Well, RJ, I will say, I was speaking about that Bold as Love. There must be something, and Tom, maybe you have some insight into this, I don't know, but there must be something super cool in Trey's shoes, you know, to be on stage in a sold out arena with the amount of energy that was there in the whole, all 4 nights of the Island tour, where everybody felt like so special, just that we all felt like this was a bonus and this was something really amazing. And there was this energy there that was palpable, and to get on stage and to rip these Jimi Hendrix lines, you know, and play them must feel really fucking cool on stage.
His favorite guitarist. And one of the favorite songs, his favorite song from his favorite guitarist. It's a perfect punctuation to this four show run. And they had just done an amazing 4 show run, and then they somehow beat it. Yeah. That's my final thought of the night. It's just incredible. Incredible.
My final thought is just one word. It was a fun night.
It was a fun night. Before we close out, thank you guys. Thanks for season 4. Thanks to everyone who listened. Thanks to all our sponsors. This has been a tremendously fun season to do. And thank you to my co-hosts. It wouldn't be the same without you guys. And it's fantastic to do a three you know, a three-way analysis like this. It was a lot of fun for me. RJ, I understand you have a quick preview for what's coming up with Undermine.
All right, I want to give everyone a sneak preview of what we have coming next from Undermine. Next week, you're going to hear a trailer for a new series, which will preview a show called We've Got a Band. This is going to come through the Undermine feed, and it will run as Undermine Presents We've Got a Band. This is brought to you by our friends at Section 119. We appreciate them so much for helping us get this series out there. This was the idea of journalists Gabby Bluestone and James Dell. They're setting out to interview some of Phish's most well-known fans, even outside of the music world, and they explore not just the Phish journey, but also getting these people's thoughts on the community, creativity, and a lot more. There are people from reality TV, there are journalists, there are musicians, there are lots of others. So keep an ear out for We've Got a Band. It'll be right here in your Undermine feed. And thank you to Gabby, James, and Section 119.
Looking forward to We've Got a Band. I know they're working hard on it, so that'll be exciting to hear. And that is really it for Undermine Season 4. Are we going to come back for Season 5? We don't know, but this isn't goodbye just yet. Actually, it is for now. Have a great summer. Never change. Undermine is brought to you by Osiris Media. Executive producers are Tom Marshall, RJB, and Benji Eisen. Edited by Eric Limarenko. Mixed and mastered by Matt Dwyer. Production assistance from Nick Sejas. Original music by Amar Sastry. Shout out, Amar. Art by Mark Dowd.
Stay cool, everyone.
Osiris. This is the story of Whitney Houston.
This is the story of Kurt Cobain.
Of George Michael, of Otis Redding, of Amy Winehouse, of Michael Hutchence, Bob Marley. This is the story of Prince.
It's a new podcast series.
About how they died, why they died, and why we're still talking about them so long after.
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
It's storytelling.
But it's more than that, because rock stars,
they tell us how we feel. They change our mood.
They change the clothes we wear, the people we hang out with,
the way we remember things.
It's them who give us those ludicrous moments, the ones where you're
jumping around, singing your heart out, feeling understood.
And it's those moments we'll help you remember, the ones you're thinking about right now.
That feeling.
That feeling.
It's coming soon from Crowd Network.
Just search for Death of a Rockstar on your podcast app.
And subscribe now.
Hi, I'm Dave Gebro. I threw my career as a licensed hearing instrument specialist in the trash, sold my house, and created the ultimate music obsessives podcast, Discograffiti. Each episode of Discograffiti features an eclectic and wide-ranging slew of cool musicians doing long-form, deep-dive interviews in which we rate either their favorite band's output or their own from 0 to 5 stars. From Mike Watt rating the Minutemen to Terry Kirkman from The Association, Bob Nastanovich on Pavement, Bob Forrest on The Band, Bob Mayer on The Replacements, and Lou Barlow on The Zombies, each new guest swings a hard left into an area you either had no idea you needed to know about or know all about and can't believe you're not alone out there. Coming up, here's who we've got on the program. The Lemon Twigs, Robert Schneider from The Apples in Stereo, the Dedrick siblings from The Free Design, Joel Selvin on mother-murdering superstar drummer Jim Gordon, and a record-breaking 20-hour interview with the great Michelle Phillips about the mamas and the papas. You're not going to want to miss it, because there's nothing quite like it. Don't let your youth go to waste, lads and ladies. Discograffiti. Subscribe.